Yeah, amen. This morning, I want to talk to you about the power in communion, when we partake of communion. And today, as you know, is the first Sunday of the month. We normally partake communion every first Sunday of the month. And we're going to be doing this after the message is given. Amen. But I want you to know there is power. There's power of God when we partake of communion, you know. And every day, just as Brother Mark just read, you know, being sons and daughters of God, there's such a blessing in that. Amen. And every day we should be celebrating the benefits of God. God didn't just save us. Church, God didn't just save us. He did so much than that. We're just not going, you know, to eternity when we pass on and leave this earth. Amen. We are living eternity right now. We have eternal life right now. Right now is the time of salvation. Right now, we need to every day celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate the benefits, you know, that God has provided for each and every one of us. Because God is awesome. God is awesome. He is worthy of all praises, glory, and honor. And so I want to talk about communion. And let me say this. There's no bad way to be healed. God has given us a number of ways to be healed. And partaking of communion is one of them. You know, Jesus has provided multiple ways, amen, for us to receive wholeness and healing and walk in divine health. And also, not only that, he's also provided us for us to be set free from poverty. Amen. Are you hearing me? Not only are we saved, restored, delivered, but we are also healed. We're also we're prospering every day in every area of our life. We don't need to live in bondage no longer. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. You know, in the book of Acts, and we're not going to turn there, but we all know Pentecost. We all are familiar with the book of Acts. The church came together, amen, to hear the good news being preached. They preached the new covenant of grace. Amen. Remember the scripture, John 3:16, that says, "For God so loved the world," amen, "that he gave his only begotten son." They preached the good news that whosoever believed in his son, in Jesus Christ, would not perish, but have eternal life. And eternal life is right here, right now, for us to live right now, not just in the future. Amen. And this all took place after the cross, after the Lord resurrected. This all took place. Amen. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit, this all took place. They went from house to house. They broke bread together. They partook of Holy Communion. And let me tell you something. Holy Communion sets us apart from the world. Amen. It really does. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John. And I want to go to chapter 17. Amen. And in chapter 17, if you have a Bible that has red letterings, it's about the Lord praying, one, for himself. Secondly, he's praying for his disciples. And then he goes on to pray for believers. Current at the time and future believers. Amen. For us today. He prayed that. He prayed for us. We were prayed over by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in John, in the Gospel of John, in verse chapter 17, verse 16, this is one of the things that the Lord said to God the Father. "They are not of the world, just like I am not of the world." Do you realize that when you received the Lord, you were set apart? Amen. You are no longer the same as you were before. You were given a brand new spirit, a spirit that is connected and intertwined with the Spirit of God. If we go on in the same chapter, if we go down to verse 20, this is where the Lord Jesus is praying for all believers. Look what he says. I do not pray for these alone, meaning I don't just pray for the disciples, right? But also for those who will believe in me through their word, right? That's us today, right? We believe in the Lord Jesus. That's us today. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And look at verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, that they may be one just as we are one. So in other words, just like Jesus was one with God, the Father, we are today one with him. My Lord, we have the Holy Spirit living in the inside of us. Come on, church. It doesn't get better than that. We have Christ himself. Amen. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say here that if we love the world, right? This is what he's saying. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Amen. Because we've been separated. We've been set apart from the world. Amen. And the world is dominated. Church, listen, the world is dominated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We see that today. The world has been dominated by its flesh. It does what it wants. Let me tell you, it does evil. So many people, so many unbelievers are committing evil acts. Amen. And there's so much pride. There's so much pride in people. There's so much arrogance. And we as believers, we have to resist these things. And this is what God is saying, that we are not of the world. We are one in Christ. In other words, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. Amen. God has delivered us. We are new creatures in Christ. We have been made righteous by the work of the cross. Amen. Look at Galatians. Let's turn to Galatians 1:4. We're gonna be going through quite a few verses today. Amen. So yeah, I said it last week. Just put on your seatbelt, okay? Amen. But God wants to share this, the importance, church, the importance of partaking of communion, which is one way that God can bring total wholeness. We know he already did it at the cross, but many people among us are still sick. Amen. And walking in sickness. And this is one way that God says, you know, he's just reminding us of the beauty and the holiness when we partake of communion, what it can do for us if we believe in the cross, if we believe on his work, on the finished work of Christ. Amen. Galatians 1:4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It says, it's talking about the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God, the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen, right? So Jesus here, he delivered us. So that means we don't have to suffer the same things that people in this world are going through. So communion is a function that we do together as the body of Christ. And we can even do it individually in our own homes with our families. Or you can just do it individually, just you and the Lord. You know, the word says, I'm in the world, but I am not of it. I am not of this world. I've been set apart. I've been consecrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been consecrated. So we don't participate in the things that the world participates in. And the bread represents and symbolizes today, as we partake of communion, the broken body of Jesus Christ. And the juice represents our new covenant, a better covenant. A covenant of righteousness, a covenant of grace, a covenant that the Lord died for us to give to us. Amen. Hallelujah. We have been made righteous in God through Christ Jesus. So the Lord didn't just save us from our sins so that we could be saved and stuck until we go to heaven. No, that's the wrong mindset to have. He made provision. Church, the Lord God made provision for our success in this life as well as the one to come when we leave this earth. So this verse is making it very clear that it is God's will for us to prosper in all areas, in spirit, in our soul, and in our bodies. Amen.
Amen.
There is prosperity. There is healing. You know, I think I said it last week, or I've mentioned it. We don't preach a prosperity gospel. We preach a gospel where God makes provision for prosperity in all areas of our life, in spirit, in soul, and in body. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We serve a good God. Hallelujah. He thought about all this before we were even formed in our mother's womb. Before he even created, he already thought about us because he knew all things. He knew that man was going to fall. He knew. He knew that the first Adam was going to give his power, dominion, and authority away because God is all knowing. He is all present. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Psalm 23. The book of Psalm 23. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 5, right? It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Hallelujah. God has anointed your head. Has anointed your head. Why? Because you are uncommon people. You are not like the world. Amen. God has not anointed an unbeliever's head. He has not anointed a sinner's head. No, we are called saints. Today we are called saints. We're not called sinners. Amen. We are called the saints of God. Amen. So we are uncommon people. We have been set apart from this world. God has prepared a table for us. Hallelujah. God has released victory over every area of our life. At the cross, he did it all. He paid the full debt. He did it all. And we certainly have an enemy, right? Can we agree that we have an enemy that has come to steal, destroy, right, and kill?
Yes.
Our finances, our emotional state of mind, and our physical health. Come on now. The enemy's real. Amen?
Amen.
But God is more than enough. God already conquered the enemy.
Yes.
See, the enemy makes you think that he's so big. But let me tell you, he's really small and tiny, tiny. The enemy's tiny. The devil is tiny. Amen. God is more than enough. And God never gives just enough. He causes our cup to run over. Are you listening? He doesn't just give you just enough. He causes, we just read it, he causes our cup to run over. Over and over, to overflow with his blessings, to overflow with healing, to overflow with prosperity, to overflow. Amen.
Amen.
and maturity to overflow with the rivers of living water and overflow of life and overflow of joy and overflow of strength and overflow of peace. God is more than enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Revelations 13:8. We're going to go there. Amen. It's just another scripture. Amen. That speaks. Amen. How many know that every word in this Bible, in this Holy Bible, speaks to us? Hallelujah. Revelation 13:8 says, all who dwell on the earth, right, will worship him. That's us, right? Whose names have not been written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. We have worshiped the Lord. Amen. Those who are saved, we worship God every day. And those who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, their names have not been written in the book of life, but ours have been written in the book of life. We have eternal life through Christ Jesus, amen. But it says here that the book of life, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So Jesus provided himself. He provided himself as the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world is Jesus. Is Jesus himself. Notice that he was slain from the foundation of the world. This clearly reveals that the Lord knew exactly what man would do with the free will he gave them. Amen. This is what I mentioned before, that the first Adam, right, he sinned. He gave away his dominion and authority. God already knew that. And he also knew that he himself, his son, would be sacrificed and that his son would be the one to redeem man back to him. All before he ever created man. God already knew this. This is really amazing. And so here in verse 8 says, you know, every knee, you know, the word of God says, every knee will bow down at the name of the Lord. So everyone are going to come to, amen, that their names have not been written in the book of life. Every knee will bow down and will worship God at one point or another. Amen. That day is coming.
Amen.
That day is coming, church.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So before man was even thought about, before he created man into existence, God already knew what was going to happen. And this doesn't only show us the foreknowledge of God, but it also reveals just how much he loves us and how much he values us. Amen. That he thought about this before we were even thought about. In other words, before you had a problem, Jesus already had the answer for every area of your life. And when we partake of Holy Communion, it makes us aware of that. It makes us aware that the Lord Jesus, amen, he is the one that God the Father chose to redeem us, hallelujah, from every attack from the enemy, from every attack from the world, amen, from every thought of poverty, sickness, disease, anxiety, stress, all that. Before you even have a problem, Jesus already had the answer.
Amen.
For every area of your life, Jesus is the answer. Amen. And Holy Communion, when we partake of Holy Communion, it is a holy moment with God. Amen. It is us remembering the finished work of the cross. It is so powerful for us to not just know it, but for us to live it. To live this reality. Because it's a reality. It happened. And we believe it by faith. Amen. We didn't see it, but we believe it by faith when we read the gospel. We believe it by faith when we read the Old Testament, and everything points to the Lord. Everything points to the Lamb, as we're going to read in a little bit. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We're going to start in verse 13. Hallelujah. Praise God. Chapter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Have Christ been revealed to you through Scripture?
Yes.
Christ is constantly being revealed, even in the Old Testament. It's always pointing to the Messiah. Amen?
Amen.
Upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. Yeah. Remember, we spoke about the lusts of the world, right? As in your ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Amen?
Amen.
So look at here. Jesus provided the answer for life. He called us holy because he has now set us apart. Amen. To be uncommonly healthy. Amen. Again, we are set apart. We are in the world, but we are not of this world. So you see, because you are uncommon, you are not like the world. You are not lusting over money, lusting with pride. You're not selfish. God has given you a new identity in him. Amen. So as you become aware of your identity in Christ, that you are holy, just like the Lord is holy, because your holiness comes from Christ Jesus, then you begin to say to yourself, I am not going to participate in the common things of this world by saying and speaking. Some of us are confessing things that really are not you. Amen. Some of us are confessing sometimes sickness over us. Amen. Sometimes we confess distress over us. Sometimes we confess anxiety over us. So if we begin to confess like, oh my God, I'm nearing close to 62 or 65. You know, this is the age that my mom or my dad began to get dementia. Oh my God. Oh my God. And you begin to fear, right? Place fear upon yourself that you may also get that. Or, oh my goodness, my father died at this age, so I'm probably not going to make it till that. You know, you begin to proclaim and confess those things that are not. And that cannot be if you're a son and daughter of God. Amen? We begin to participate the way the world participates. That's all they say out there. Oh my God, I've been diagnosed with this and I have to take medication for this. Now, you know, why don't we talk to God first? Why don't we get in the Word and see what the Lord has to say about this? Amen? And so many of us are participating in the common things that people are saying, that the world is saying. I have to be careful that I don't get dementia. Oh my God, I look at my hands. Oh my God, I have arthritis. And you confess what you think you have. And yeah, you're going to confess it, you're going to get it. What you confess, you're going to get it. Amen. But no, we can't be like the world. Amen. We have been set apart. We go from glory to glory. We go from divine health to divine health. We should be uncommon, not average, not conformed to this world. This is why in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, do not be conformed to the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your old way of thinking. Change the thinking as the world thinks. Change that way of thinking. That is stinking thinking. Amen. And we got to change the way we are speaking and confessing things over ourselves. When we partake of Holy Communion, we get set apart. we become set apart. We become aware that we are not like the world. We are different. God has made us holy. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's check this out. And although this is unobtainable in our physical bodies, right, and souls, we are to strive toward this goal of holiness because our spirit is perfectly holy. Jesus is holy, and he lives in us. And when God sees us, he sees the holiness of Christ in us. This is why we can say we walk in holiness. Amen? But we got to strive toward that goal because our born-again spirit, we are holy just as Jesus is holy. Because we as believers, we have Jesus' holiness imputed unto us by Christ. Amen. Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm. And this is why we can say and walk in holiness. So we can say no to sin because we're walking in holiness. Amen. It has no power over us unless you give it power, unless you allow it. You see, Satan can only try. He can only try, but he won't succeed unless you open that door for him and let him in. Amen. So we're totally set apart. Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 10:27. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 10:27. This is what it says. The fear of the Lord prolongs days. Meaning, the reverence that we have for God prolongs days. This is not something we're not in terror of the Lord. No, this is the reverence of God that we're talking. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Are you hearing me? The fear of the Lord will lengthen our lives, and conversely, wickedness will shorten our lives. We just heard scripture. It says, be holy for I am holy. We have the fear of the Lord. We have the wisdom of God. Amen. We are walking in holiness because we are his children. Amen. And you know what? This is much more important than dieting or exercising. Amen. We have prolonged days. God has lengthened our days. So it's not about dieting. It's not about exercising. Amen. We take it to heart. I know myself, you know, I exercise and I try to diet. Amen. But that's not as important as God, the fear of the Lord, being in the Lord's presence, walking in his statutes, walking in his ordinances. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Walking in his presence, knowing that God, everything that God has done for me. Amen. Being aware of God has done for you. And the word says that he will prolong your days. He will lengthen your days. Amen. Hallelujah, but the word is so rich. Amen. Look at Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 8. And let's go to verse 22. Yeah, this is during the time where Pharaoh still had the Israelite captives, and the Lord was bringing all kinds of plagues, and because they wouldn't be released by Pharaoh, right? And in 22 says, in that day, you know, it's talking about the fourth plague, right? But he says here in verse 22, in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference. Hear this. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow, this sign shall be. Amen. That I think that is such an interesting verse here. Amen. But here he's saying that God is making a distinction between those who have accepted the Lord as their Savior and those who haven't. Amen. And here he's doing the same thing. Hey, you know, those plagues are not just going to come to everybody. He's going to separate his people from the worldly people. Amen. And during the church age, God's mercy, you know, is upon all. But God's blessing only rests upon his children. Amen. Right? Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved everybody. He loves everybody. And his mercy is upon this world. Amen. But God's blessing only falls and rests upon his children, those who had said yes to his son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you see an unbeliever, amen, with riches or finances, amen, those are only temporary. They don't have the Lord. They don't have the Lord Jesus residing in them. Amen. But the blessings of God is resting upon us, his children, the church.
Amen.
Amen. And in this age of grace, because remember, we have a covenant of grace now. And as it is coming near, right? I mean, you see a lot happening. You see, and times are happening right now. Like, things are really happening, and they're happening faster. Amen. And so those who know the Christ our Lord, right, they will not be judged. Are you hearing me? So even though God's mercy is really upon us all, right, because he loves us all, amen, but his blessings are only resting upon the children of God, the children that have accepted the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And because we are his children, we will not be judged. Amen. The wrath of God will not fall upon us. Amen. Because we are his beloved.
Yes.
We are his beloved.
Amen.
So, church, there is a difference between God's people and the world. Remember, the enemy will attack in the area of your greatest anointing. Listen to me. The enemy will attack you in the area of your greatest anointing. And you have to be mindful and say, uh-uh, not today, devil. No way. I will not succumb and I will not submit to your tricks, because your tricks are evil and they're not of God. I am not going. You got to say to yourself, I am not going to succumb to dementia, to diabetes, to arthritis, to hearing problems, to eye problems. You follow what I'm saying? You cannot succumb to speak that way. You cannot accept it. You cannot. Amen. And the Holy Communion, the partaking of Holy Communion, is a channel that releases health in the believer's body. You don't have to accept any ailments. You need to establish in your heart that healing is yours to walk in. And your desire should be healthy, wholeness, and healing to walk in it. Your desire should be, Lord, I thank you that I walk in divine health. I thank you that I've been made whole. I thank you, Lord, that healing took place over 2,000 years ago. And by his stripes, by the Lord's stripes, I'm already healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 33:25. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I gotta move it along. Hallelujah. 33:25. It says, your sandals shall be iron and bronze, and your days, so shall your strength be. Amen. Again, This is the Lord God. Hallelujah. The Lord God speaking out about strength. We have strength in God. Hallelujah. This is a great blessing. God gives strength equal to our days. This can be taken as however long we live. Amen. God will give us strength as it was with Moses. Amen. We know Moses, as your days are, so is your strength. Amen. Moses was 80 years old, church. Moses was 80 years old when he began ministry. He died at the age of 120. And if we divide his years by 40, by 3, we get 40 years as a prince of in Egypt, right? Because he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. We get 40 years, right, as a shepherd, amen, just being a shepherd in the land, in Israel, amen. And 40 years, he became the deliverer and the leader of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. 40 years, when he walked as a shepherd, he was walking with his father-in-law, amen, as a shepherd. But then 40 years, when he became 80, he began ministry. He saw the Lord in the burning bush. Amen. And he became the deliverer and the leader. And at 80 years old, God gave him strength. And Moses was strong. And the Lord added to his years at 80 years old. Look, stay there, Deuteronomy 34:7. Let's go there real quick, right? Deuteronomy 34:7. It says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Are you listening to this? So that means Moses was strong and the Lord added to his years. The old covenant that was instituted under Moses is inferior. Listen, it's inferior to the new covenant we have today. A covenant of grace, a better covenant, a covenant of just flooded with blessings. Therefore, if this is the way Moses was at 120 years old, then I believe we can have the same today. Are you hearing me? If God did it for Moses then, he can do it for us today. Amen. The Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The strength of the Lord is in us. So although Moses was still strong, you know, he said in Deuteronomy, you know, we don't need to turn there in 31:2, that he wasn't able to go out and come in again, signifying that he wasn't strong enough for battle. But age didn't affect him because he was still able to climb that mount, Nebo, on the day of his death. He climbed that mountain on the day of his death at 120 years old. Come on now. Was he strong? Was he not strong? God gave him strength. God added to his years.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. So yeah, he may not have been strong enough to a battle. Amen. But he was strong enough to climb that mountain. Because age, God made him. He added. The Lord added to his age. The Lord added strength. Amen. Gave him strength to accomplish what he needed to accomplish, to fulfill everything that the Lord had for him to fulfill in on the earth for him. Amen. Proverbs 9:11. Let's go to Proverbs 9:11. Oh my goodness! I thought this was gonna. Oh my goodness, there's so much to say today. Hallelujah. Just put on, keep your seatbelts on, please. Amen. 9:11. It says here, Proverbs 9:11 says, "For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you." It's the word of God. You just gotta take it. Amen. The Lord will add years to your life and life to your years. Amen. The Lord will add years to your life and life to your ears. Hallelujah. Wisdom multiplies the years of our lives. And much too much importance is placed on diet and exercise, like I said before. And it's not as important when we think about the wisdom of God and how he's lengthening our lives today. Amen. Come on. God makes us strong. Amen. I don't know about you, but my best days are ahead. They're not behind. They're ahead. Amen.
Amen.
My best days of strength and joy and peace are ahead, not behind. Let's go to Luke 6:19. I got to move quickly here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because I need to get everything in. Hallelujah. I told you to put on your seatbelt. Oh, my goodness. God has so much to say. Luke 6:19. Thank you, Lord. And the whole multitude, now going back to healing and the Lord with the people, sought to touch the Lord Jesus. For power went out from him and he healed them all. I told you that Holy Communion releases power to heal all. Amen. And so in when we read this verse talking about that there was a multitude of people that when they heard about the Lord Jesus and how he was healing the people of the land, casting out demons, right? Giving sight to the blind, giving a voice to the mute. Amen. Just delivering people, amen, from all their infirmities. You know, anybody who touched the Lord, power was released from all of them. Amen. From his body unto the people. And he healed them all that touched them, that touched him. Amen. Look at Mark 6:26. Let's go to Mark, just the chapter before. Mark 6:56. Amen. And this is what the Lord says. Wherever he entered, talking about the Lord Jesus, Mark 6:56. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. You hear that? So everyone who touched the hem of Jesus' garment were healed because power was released. And this was normal in those days. Remember the woman with the issue of blood that I spoke about last week? She persevered and she heard about the Lord Jesus and she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. And so there's so much here. There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in Holy Communion. There is power that gets released when we partake of Holy Communion. And have you ever seen a matzah bread? You know the matzah bread, the Jewish cracker. Amen. That bread is striped. It is pierced. And it's pierced with holes, amen, and it's also burnt. And you know what that represents? It represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
That's what this cracker, this matzah bread represents. It was intentionally striped, amen, it was created that way, pierced with holes and burnt. And so there is significance in this, amen. So before I get there, Isaiah, let's turn to Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Amen. Just hang in there. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. It says, this is the prophet Isaiah prophesying the coming of the Messiah and the type of death he would have. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Present tense, we are healed. That means that healing took place at that time when he died on the cross. Because this was a prophecy. that was given by Prophet Isaiah. So in this verse, what the word grief in the Hebrew, it means sickness. All sickness was taken by Jesus Christ. He was the coming Messiah. The word sorrow in Hebrew means pain and symptoms. This is why Jesus carried on his broken and pierced body. So the cracker represents the broken body of Jesus, the piercing, hallelujah, of his hands, feet, and even side. The Lord Jesus was pierced. He was nailed to the cross. He was pierced on the side where the blood flowed out of his side. Amen. And the punishment, the wrath of and judgment of God was on Jesus. So here we have the cracker, the matzah bread, right? Is stricken and is pierced, and that represents the Lord's body, all right? That was broken and wounded. Amen. And then the fire, right? The cracker, the burnt on the cracker was the fire. It was the punishment, the wrath, and the judgment of God that fell on Jesus. That's what that burnt area of that cracker represents. It represents the fire, the wrath, the punishment, and the judgment that God took for us on the cross. Amen. Listen, by whose stripes we were healed. We are healed. Amen. Look at Matthew 8:17. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew 8:17. Again, this is quoting the prophet Isaiah, that it might be fulfilled. You see, you know, when we go to 16, it says, when evening had come, talking about the crucifixion, they brought to him many who were, this is about healing. They brought many that were demon-possessed, and he cast them all out, spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Amen. So here is written again in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus became, hallelujah, the curse for us. He bore the sickness, the infirmities, the sorrows, the griefs, the pain, the symptoms, amen, for us all. Hallelujah. So we got to start declaring, I am healed. If the Lord says, by his stripes you are healed, you got to begin to walk and say, I am healed. I don't care what my body looks like, I am healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
All physical healing Amen. And forgiveness Yeah. has already taken place in the atonement Yeah. work of Christ.
Amen.
Jesus' hands, feet, and side was pierced, and by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. Remember the crown of thorns that was placed on his head? Well, I'm here to tell you that you have been redeemed from stress, anxiety, and depression. He took upon that crown. Do you think he could have just taken it out and not feel any pain from it? Yeah, he was God. He could have done anything. Amen. But he took it upon himself. So that today we are redeemed from stress, anxiety, even depression, because we have peace of mind. We have the mind of Christ.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. We have the mind of Christ today. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:24. Hallelujah. It makes it even more clearer. 1 Peter 2:24. Speaking about the Lord Jesus again, this is Peter making reference, who himself, talking about Jesus, took our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, you were healed. Because it's already done. It already happened at the cross.
Amen.
This is why Peter's quoting past tense. Amen. This verse puts healing puts the healing that Jesus obtained for us in the past tense. That means that if we were healed, then we are healed. Isaiah said we were healed. Today we say we are healed. We aren't waiting on God to heal us. He's already done his part. He is waiting on us to take what he has provided already, exercise our authority, and command his healing power to manifest in our bodies. That is the word of God. That is the word of God. Jesus already redeemed us from the curse of poverty. And he blesses even our hands. I said this before. God blesses the work of our hands. So not only has he redeemed us from the curse of the enemy, from sickness, amen, and all that, but he also has redeemed us from the curse of poverty, because he has blessed our hands. He blesses our feet. Wherever we go, it is blessed. Our paths are blessed in the name of Jesus, because we have covenant with him. So the matzah, right? The matzah is burnt because it signifies the fire of God's judgment over any disease and physical condition. It's already done. It's already burnt out. Amen. God took upon that judgment of that disease. He received that judgment for us, and it represents the anger that was due to you and I. And now today, that wrath cannot touch us. That judgment cannot touch us, because Jesus took it all at the cross. Amen. At the cross. Amen. And we're not going to go there, but in the Gospel of John 12, verse 30, if you want to write it down, and 31, the judgment came upon Jesus. Satan was cast out and defeated. We know that. And we have been redeemed from all sickness and judgment, because the Lamb of God is bigger than any diagnosis, amen, that we may receive or will ever receive today or in the future. God is bigger. The Lamb of God is bigger than that, amen. And it's bigger than anything that we can ever go through in life. Satan no longer has power or authority over those of us who accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It is a gift that God has given us, a gift of salvation and healing and blessings. Satan was cast out, stripped of any power he had. He was totally stripped, church, of any power he had. Now he can only deceive us, right? He only has power to deceive us. And if we allow him, we can fall into that deception. If we allow him, we can fall for his lies.
That's right.
And if we fall for him, that means we ourselves, we stop God's blessings in our own lives when we say yes to Satan, okay? When we go through with his deception, you stop. Amen. You yourself, because you're choosing to go with him. Amen. But don't do it. Amen. Don't do it. Amen. God is greater. You have a power. You have authority. God is bigger than that. The house is bigger than the Lamb. Amen. When we remember the Passover, we're not going to go there, right? But we all know the Passover that took place in the book of Exodus in chapter 12. How God had every family. They were in the middle of bondage, amen. God had every family in there, right? And he said, take the best lamb, amen, and offer it, amen. Kill it. Put that blood on the post of your house. And the angel is going to come. And every post that has blood, we will not touch that house, amen. But every other house, there's going to come upon death in that house, amen. And when we look at the Passover that took place in Exodus, we can see the Passover that took place here with Jesus. When he went on the cross, he was the perfect Lamb of God. He was sinless, amen.
Amen.
He was God's best offering. And today, well, I'm here to tell you that we are completely covered with the finished work of Christ at the cross. And we as children of God, we can partake of all that Jesus has already provided for us. God never intended for salvation to be separated into different parts, with us choosing which part do we want. Do we want salvation only? Do we want blessings? No, everything comes together. We are to take everything salvation offers, and that is healing, prosperity, deliverance, restoration, emotional health, physical health, divine health. And we as children of God, we need to take advantage of everything that God has provided for us. It is truly a blessing of God to be called His sons and daughters. God has provided all that under salvation. Salvation offers more than what we think, more than what we were led to think. I really thought when I received the Lord 30 years ago that I was just going to heaven and that was it. I really thought this. But God brought to a revelation, no, I just didn't die for you for to be saved and have eternal life with me when your days are over on earth. No, I provided healing for you. I provided prosperity for you. I provided deliverance, restoration, reconciliation. In every area of your life.
Protection.
Yes, protection, shield. Mm-hmm. God did this. God did this for us. We're almost done, church. We're almost done. Amen? Amen. Look at Psalm 105:37. Let's go there. Almost done. I told you to put on your seatbelts. Psalm 105:37. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But this word is good, church. You just got to hold on to it. Just hold on, okay? 105:37. Look at what it says. He says, he's talking about the Lord. This is God. Amen? He also brought them, talking about the Israelites, okay? He also brought them out with silver and gold. And there was none feeble. Listen to this. There was none feeble among his tribes. Amen? Check this out, the Passover, amen. When the angel passed over, not only did he pass over, but he brought them out. The Lord delivered every single Israelite. Mm-hmm. And they brought them out with silver and gold. They got the spoils of the Egyptians. Whatever they wanted, the Egyptians gave to them. This is divine intervention. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And it says that not one was feeble. And that means not one was sick among them. Come on. This is revelation. This was divine intervention. And I really believe that the mass healing must have occurred the night the people ate the Passover lamb. Amen. When we eat the Passover lamb, when we take Holy Communion, the lamb was symbolic of Jesus, our Passover lamb, who not only forgave our sins, but also healed our bodies.
Amen.
And as they partook of the lamb, their bodies were healed. Are you hearing me? Just picture the Israelites in their little huts, in their little homes, as they were partaking of the Lamb of God. Amen. The lamb that God provided for them, the lamb without spots, without blemishes, the perfect lamb, their bodies were healed. And that is the only explanation that we can find in these verses. So the Lord provided healing for every part of their bodies. And we got to begin as a church, we got to begin to believe these things and say them out loud. There is no such thing as a generational curse. Curse is the one who hung on a tree, and his name is Jesus. We have generational blessings today. Generational blessings. Jesus was stricken and bore every physical ailment on his body. And in the wilderness, the Israelites suffered physical disability. They had a really poor diet. But all came out healed and possessing silver, and gold. They came out prospered. They came out prospered. So church, every time you eat of the Lamb of God, which symbolizes our Holy Communion, you gotta see and picture yourself healed. Picture yourself healthy. Every area in your life, I declare and decree, it is healed in the name of Jesus. And you gotta begin to declare, I am delivered of, and fill in the blank. So today, church, as we partake of communion in a few moments, amen, and as you take in that cracker or that bread that represents the broken, stricken body of Christ, say to yourself, I am delivered of whatever it is that you need deliverance of, that you need healing of, as you partake. And as you partake today, expect something to change. Expect something to change physically and naturally in your body. Expect health and wealth and just walk in it. Expect a miracle in your body. Amen. Expect a supernatural change in your body. And I declare and I decree right now that there is not one sick among you and your family in the mighty name of Jesus. It is done. It is finished. Christ did it on the cross. He bore every single thing, sickness, disease, infirmities, bitterness, unforgiveness, everything, anxiety, depression, stress. He bore it all on the cross, and by his stripes, we were healed in the mighty name of Jesus.